Thank God. Well, we talked about praise last week, and essentially we said that praise, you know, one definition of praise is just speaking with your lips. It doesn't necessarily have to be with your lips inwardly, but speaking about God and glorifying Him, saying things that bring glory to God. And, you know, that it's not just in the context of music or anything like that, that that's one expression of praise, obviously, but that it doesn't have to be in this context. And I want to talk about worship today. Those two are often stated hand in hand. But worship, again, doesn't really have anything to do with music. It's not the slow songs. You know, sometimes people think the praise songs are the fast songs and the worship songs are the slow songs. But you can have a praise song that is slow, and you have a worship song that's fast. It has nothing to do with tempo, and again, it really doesn't have anything to do with music. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Worship, we don't come here. We do come here to worship, but this isn't the only time we worship. And people say, well, where do you worship or where do you go? Well, it's not a building like we've talked about. The church is us. The church isn't some place. So we don't go somewhere to worship. Worship is a lifestyle. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 6:19, if you want to go there. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Just read a couple scriptures to this effect. In verse 19. So previous to this, Paul's giving some instructions and saying, like, you know, in the previous verse he's saying, flee sexual immorality, for every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And he's giving these instructions, and then he makes this statement. So in context, he's saying, you know, don't do this, don't do that, because why? In verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, and in your spirit which are God's. But he says, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body, specifically your spirit, is where God resides. God's a spirit, and God recreated us. And the Bible clearly says that Jesus is dwells in us. God, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus are one. We have God within us, and we are the temple of God today. Now let's read another scripture that's similar. 1 Peter 2:4. 1 Peter 2:4. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're living stones. We are being all built up, the body of Christ, to give honor to God, to give glory to God. But we're living stones. We're sacrifices unto Him, spiritual sacrifices. So we are not, we don't need to go to some physical place to worship God anymore. In the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God dwelt was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. So they had, you know, this temple, and when they were out in the wilderness, you know, it wasn't made of stones or anything. It was portable. They would set it up, tear it down. Eventually, they built the physical temple. But the way it was structured, it had, you know, these outer courts, and eventually they had these different phases that you'd walk to. Eventually, there was this Holy of Holies, and that's where the Spirit of God dwelt. And nobody could just walk in there. It was, you would die if you walked in there. In fact, the high priest would go in there once a year to offer specific sacrifices, and they literally tied a rope to his ankle so that if he went in there without being completely clean and without going through all the things that he needed to go through, he would die. Because he went in there without doing what he needed to do, and they'd have to pull him out. Because if somebody else went in there to get him, they would die. They weren't qualified. Well, that's the way it was. Nobody could just walk into the presence of God. So they went there to worship in the temple. God did not dwell in people before Jesus came. But today, like these scriptures we've just read, God dwells in us. So when we worship, we don't have to come here to a building. We don't have to go to any specific place. We don't have to get in any specific position physically. You know, we don't have to kneel. We don't have to raise our hands. We don't have to close our eyes. Because we are the temple of the Most High God, and in us He dwells, and we carry God wherever we go. So wherever we go, we can be worshiping. Worship is not something that we do at a specific time in a service. It's not when I turn on some certain music that then I can worship. Or I get down and now, you know, now I'm worshiping. No, it's not any of those things. It has nothing to do with our physical body. It has nothing to do with outward things. It's our spirit is in communion with Almighty God. And worship is a lifestyle. It's not an act. It's not an event. Well, did you worship God today? Well, when we understand worship, we can worship God all the time, every day. It's communion with Him. It's living with Him. James 4:8. Why don't we go ahead and turn there real quick? James 4:8. People say, you know, well, how do I go about worshiping God? Or, you know, we really, by religion, we have this view of what worship is. That it is just an act, that it's not a continual thing, because a lot of people don't have the understanding that we actually have God inside of us and that the type of relationship that God wants to have with us. So James 4:8 says this. It says, the first part of it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Well, God is not far away from us. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. People think, well, does that mean He's far away? No. Read this in. Let's turn over to Colossians. Hold that thought and read. Go over to Colossians 1:19. So draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He will. It's a promise. God, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Not like, well, He'll see if He's in a good mood that day and then He might draw near to you. You know, if you draw near to God, come to Him, he'll think about it and see if you qualify. No, if you've accepted Jesus, you're qualified, like we've talked about before, and He will draw near to you. Now, is he far away? No, He lives in us. What does that mean? Look at Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, by Jesus, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. See, Jesus has made peace with everybody through the blood of His cross. He's already drawn near. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already paved the way. But what do we have to do? First of all, we have to come to Him as our Lord and Savior. He's waiting. Everybody has the price paid for Him. Let's just go over there. It's the same thought. 2 Corinthians 5:16. 2 Corinthians 5:16. See, Jesus has paid this price for us to come in to the Holy of Holies. He's already drawn near to us. He's waiting for everybody on the face of the earth. Their price is paid. They just have to accept the gift. So 2 Corinthians 5:16. Now, this is the same thought. Same author. Therefore, Holy Spirit's author, right? I mean, Paul, this is the same literal human author, but the Holy Spirit led these men to write these things. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. We touched on this a few weeks ago when we were talking about let your light shine. God has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus and then given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to Himself through Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the whole world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So God has reconciled the whole world to himself, and he's given us the word that says, now go tell people that I've already reconciled everybody to myself through Jesus. Now, we have to accept that, but God has moved towards us. Now, in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So God has reconciled everybody to himself through Jesus. He's given us, the ones that have already accepted that reconciliation, the word, made us ambassadors to the world to say, come and be reconciled to God. You accept his reconciliation. We're ambassadors telling people what God has done. In verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So God, he's drawn near to us. He's not far away. He's near to us. I mean, he gave his life to reconcile, so he's there. So when we draw near to him, the Bible says he'll draw near to us. It's like a chess match. He's drawn near. He's already made his move to everybody in here. He's already here. He loves us. He's our Father. So all we have to do is look to him. And worship is simply being aware of the fact that he's drawn near to us. When you become aware of that and realize what he's done, that he's not far off, that he's right there. It's just like turning to him. He's right there. He's waiting. It's like he's got, you know, the table set. He's got the fire going. He's just waiting. But we may have to just drive up and say, hey, I want to hang out with you. Well, he's there to hang out. It's that simple. We don't have to. When we go to God, and religion will give you the idea that you have to go to God, and if we worship him right, and if we do all the things right, and if we really mean it, then we'll feel the presence of God. Well, we might feel a tangible presence, but that is no indication of whether God's near to us. He's near to us all the time. He's near right now, whether we feel it or not. We are the temple of God, like we read. We have been reconciled to God through Jesus, so worship is just being aware of that fact and just communing with him, talking with him. It's a lifestyle. Going through life with the knowing, with just a continual communing with God, that's worship. Your life, a continual communing with God. Now let's turn to John 4:20. So many terms in Christianity that become loaded, that we have this religious view of what things mean, and God is not a religious God. God is just a good person to talk to and to hang out with, and religion has just corrupted this stuff. John 4:20. So Jesus is talking by this woman by the well. And, you know, he's talking to her, and she's had several husbands and all these things. And then he says this in verse 20, the lady says this, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now, again, this is the Old Testament. Jesus is there, but it's still the Old Testament. Yeah, he's referring to where they worship in a specific temple. What does Jesus say? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, because Jesus is here at this point, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So he basically said the things we're saying. Look, people have worshipped God in temples because that's where he dwelt. It was an old covenant. Now we are the temple of the Most High God. So Jesus is speaking of now, the covenant he came to create between us and God, that he has reconciled the world to him. He's waiting for people to recognize that fact through our words, through us sharing that fact, so that people can turn to him and worship him in spirit and in truth like we are today. And worshiping is not going to a temple, like he's saying. It's not on the mountain. It's not in the temple. It's right where you are in spirit and in truth. It's when you're at your job. It's when you're dealing with the children. It's when you're playing sports. It's when you're at church. At church, we say, you know, we're gathered together. We are the church. But worship is not an act. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. All the time, we can worship. We can worship God all the time. And you notice he said, we'll worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, we're spirits. When we die physically, we are going to live on because we are spiritual beings. We're going to go on. We worship him spiritually. See, people get caught up with the external. People get caught up with, how do you worship? Do you know how to worship God? Do you know how to raise your hands? Or do you really, you know, you close your eyes and fold your hands, or you get down on your knees, or you go prostrate. Boy, you're really worshiping God then. No, that's physical. I could get down on my knees and act like I'm worshiping God, and I could want nothing to do with God. It means nothing. My spirit, spiritually, in truth, spiritually I worship him with my spirit, who's communing to him all night. Have you ever, you can go to bed communing with God and wake up and it's like you're still communing with God. Why? Your physical body may have gone to sleep, but your spirit didn't. You can wake up with some song you were singing, it's just going through because your spirit was just communing with God. Well, we can worship him all the time. He said in spirit and in truth, worship God the way you worship God. I mean, I'm talking now physically. Be real with God. Don't make up things. We don't need to make up. We see somebody else doing something, we think maybe highly of them, so we have to worship God that way, or we have to do some outward thing like them. God's not playing games. He knows us inside, outside, upside down, whatever. He knows exactly where we are. Let's not. We don't need to play games with him. We don't need to try to be like somebody or anything. We just worship him like we would. We be ourselves. Just like if you were going over to, like we talked about, if God was a you know, physically here and he had a house and he had a fireplace, he had a fire going and, you know, a cup of coffee and everything. You went over to his house, you just hang out and talk to him. You wouldn't be somebody else. Same thing. We worship him as who we are. He knows our faults. He knows who we are. He knows our strengths. He knows who we're going to be. He knows the plans he has for us. And we just talk to him in reality. It doesn't do any good to try to put on airs with God. I mean, think about it. He knows everything. He knows if we're putting on airs. He knows if we're trying to hide something. Why even go there? He knows what's in our heart. People can fool other people. You know, we can try to look real spiritual with other people, but God knows what's in our heart. So when we come, you know, to him, let's just be real with him. Let's just be ourselves. If when we're singing a song or we're at home, we just want to close our eyes, and that's us, that's fine. If we wanted to prostrate ourselves on the ground, that's fine. Whatever is between us or God, because our physical actions are just an outward indication of our inward state. When you're prostrating yourself, you're saying, God, I just humble myself before you. There's nothing wrong with getting down on your hands and knees and prostrating yourself or kneeling. Or, you know, the Bible talks about raising holy hands to him. But that doesn't mean you're spiritual if you raise your hands. It doesn't mean if you're spiritual if you don't raise your hands. It doesn't really make any difference. You know, you can just sit quietly in the presence of God. Sometimes I'll just go on drives and I'll have some music on, and I'm just quiet listening to that. Man, just have a great time just spending time before God, because God's everywhere. God's in my car. He's with me. You can have. I've looked out my back window in my office early in the morning, or maybe not so early in the morning, but it's in the morning. And looking outside in my backyard and watching the animals play and just being quiet before God. That's worshiping him. It's spending time with him. It's being close to him. It's hanging out with him. That's worshiping him. We just want to strive to be real with him. True worship in truth, in spirit and in truth.